listening to Inner City Geeks Turntable with Steve and Charlie.
What is up? Welcome to a brand new, well, I guess, yeah, it's the first brand new Inner City Geeks Turntable in over a year and a half. And joining me today, I got Charlie.
Hello, sir. Steve, I hate to say this, I think you might have to restart.
Why?
Because that live thing just came on. After the fact, it's fine. Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's been on mine for like the last 30
seconds. It just popped up on mine. I'm like, holy crap, maybe you didn't record. Okay. Anyway, see, this is how long it's been since we recorded.
It's all good. Because we're doing it differently as well. We're not doing it the way that we did it before.
Yeah, because you're on this whole new platform and everything. Again, this is how long I've been on the podcast.
Right. Exactly. We've been using StreamYard over here for a while already.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the other one worked, but this one works just a little bit better.
So what's been new in the last year and a half that we've done this?
A whole lot of shit. We had a lot of music, a lot of movies, a lot of TV, a lot of
good stuff.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year.
This year, 2020 has been a crazy year. But...
Exactly. A lot of everything that's just all over the place, and thankfully the thing that, you know, brings us all together, especially brings us together, is our love of music.
Yes, because for those who don't know, who don't follow the Big Show, Steve and I still converse on the daily basis.
Oh, absolutely. about
anything and everything.
Yeah, just about.
And I miss being on the Big Show. I plan to be back hopefully sometime.
Yeah,
that should be fun. I try to chime in here and there, but
yeah. Oh, you do, because you show up on the live streams and you show up on the every other show and stuff, and I mentioned you on the show from time to time. Alex mentions you on the show from time to time
on a daily basis.
yeah. so it's good to actually have a conversation with you on here, and yeah. I guess I can say it now. The reason we're here is because, of course, we are doing a Turntable, which is a show that we were mostly talking about just music that we enjoy.
Yeah.
And this episode, of course, of Turntable, like no other, is going to be music that we enjoyed this year. And it's going to be the top five albums that came out in 2020.
Yes. And then the reason why we are doing a recording of this episode is also because last year I did pretty much a written piece of my top. That's how many albums? Like, was it 10 albums, 20 albums? Yeah, I don't remember. I can't count that high. And then I was thinking about doing that, and Steve said, why don't we just record? And I was like, you know, it's been too freaking long. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually on a little bit of a break from work, so I actually have some time.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a complete 180 from last year to this year.
Yeah, because my career has done a 180, and so...
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah,
that's a story for a different day.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, that's something that, you know, it's technically one of those things that's completely out of our control, so we can't do anything about it. We've got to roll with the punches.
Always.
Yes. Always. Yes. And for this list, of course, this is music that we all enjoy, or at least us here, we enjoy. There are some people that are gonna be like, oh, why would you do this or why would you do that? I'm like, that's what I like. That's what I want to be on my fucking list.
And granted, there are so many great albums that came out this year, and there's going to be some albums that should be on the list but are not on the list. It's very hard to narrow it down and confine it to five each.
Yeah. That's what's so good about doing these, because of course they are very they're very subjective.
Yes. But
at the same time, like, if you have your list, let us know what your list is.
But pretty much it.
Right now, this is what you're going to be listening to.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So I guess we could start it off with Charlie. How about you give me your first one?
You want me to give you my first one?
You haven't been recording in a while. So,
you just missed the sultry sounds of my voice. That's what it
yes,
is.
Yes, I do. I do. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I think I'm going to start off with this band, because not only the band itself, but actual members of the band, and I'll talk about one later on, had albums out as well this year. But I'm going to talk about one of my favorite bands, Seven Dust, who put out a great release called Blood and Stone, that was released on October 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just something about hearing the John Witherspoon's voice just rocking out all over again. Mm-hmm. That just gives me great sensations. And I've been a Seven Dust fan since, I think, what, Black and Bitch?
Yeah.
A long came time. Out. So a long, long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that they put out is great. But there's something about this album where it's above and beyond any of the very more recent releases they had.
Yep. This is, in my opinion, it's actually one of their better albums of the last mm-hmm. few years.
Yeah. I mean, last few years they had, what, Break Out the Sun, All I See Is War, even though Cold Day Memory, this mm-hmm. is above and beyond that.
Yeah.
I feel.
It's their standout album of their newer stuff.
Yes. And I think that it's, what, 13 tracks, and mm-hmm. just one right after the other, it's great. And the standout track for me right now is Blood from a Stone, I keep going back to over and over again. The title track.
It's a great album.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of those albums that, like, every time I hear it, I'm like, Jesus, they still got it. Like, after how long? Like, what, 15, 20 years almost?
I think about 20, 20 some odd years, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think here. Let me see. Next came out in 2005. The debut came out late 90s. So, yeah, think about that. Late 90s.
Yeah.
So it's got to be almost 20, 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A long fucking time. So just saying that they're actually still putting out good music with pretty much almost the entire band still pretty much intact.
Yeah. Again, I'll mention him later. Clint Lowry was, left the band and came back. And he brings that great guitar work to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Morgan Wells, the drummer, again.
Yeah.
So,
and also
fire, has that passion behind it.
Yeah, exactly. They have that passion. They have that drive that, like, every time you hear it, you're just like, "Fuck, this shit is good."
Yep.
Like, there hasn't been like any any hiccups in their thing since pretty much the beginning. Like, I can say like, there hasn't been an album that I'm like, okay, I don't like it at all. Like, this is a mm-hmm. shitty album. Fuck this. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, even like I said, this album is better than the last couple albums they put out, but the last couple albums are still pretty damn good. They're still
great.
It's just, they took, like, I guess, I don't want to say they refound their groove, they refound that step, but there was just something about this album where it's just that passion just came through more than they did on the other albums, I feel. Mm-hmm. Again, this is all my opinion, my subjective, and, don't come at me.
Come at me, bro. Come at me, bro.
There you go.
No, it's a fantastic album. Like, I'm not gonna, I don't have anything against it. Like, I enjoy the hell out of the album.
Yep. So what got you, man?
What got me about the album?
Yeah.
Everything, pretty much, because, like I said, like, I've been a fan of theirs for a long time as well.
Yep.
And just, the fact that this album came out at a time that LeJohn was going through some hard things too.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, it was mm-hmm. a super sad shit. But also the fact that, like, on top of it having super sad moments, he was able to actually put something out that was, like, super strong.
Yep. And I forgot to mention, they also did the cover of Soundgarden's The Day I Try to Live.
Yes,
it's the last track on the album, so that also, and now, not everybody can cover Soundgarden, but Leon did a phenomenal job on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what was so good about it too is that, like, he did his own take on it. He didn't just try to sound like Chris Cornell or anything like that.
No.
He sounded like himself.
Yeah, and it was just an amazing cover of it.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I loved it. Like, it was one of those albums that was like, this is one of those albums that I can listen to all the time.
No, yeah, like I said, it's been on my rotation since its release. It's something I listen to at least once or twice a week because it's just that good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really is. All right, so that, I guess, that goes to my next choice. I guess I should have mentioned earlier, like, we're not going in any particular order. We're just going off of lists that we have. So nothing is greater than the other. They all bring their own flavor to what we have and what we enjoy. Yeah. And kind of shows us, it kind of shows you, the listener, like the type of music that we're into and type of things that we look for in music.
Yeah.
And the album that I'm going to be talking about now is an album of, it's a rap album. I've been a rap fan since I was like a wee child. And after listening to this album, to this rapper the first time, I was like, yeah, I don't think any other rapper will come compared to him. And I'm talking about Eminem. And he recently, in January actually, he released Music to Murder By. Oh, Music to Be Murdered By.
Yes.
And it was an absolute banger of an album.
That was a great album.
Like, from beginning to end, there wasn't, like, a bit of a hiccup in there at all.
Which is really good.
Yeah. And I went back, and there were times that I could just go and I could listen to it. Even when it first came out, like, I listened to it at least 4 times in a row the first day. And I was like, this is a great album. Because it's better than a lot of the stuff that he's done recently, of course. Kamikaze was really good, but the one before that wasn't that great.
No, that's just it, though. It reminds people that not to sleep on him, because a lot of people did with his last past couple. I don't want to say, everything before Kamikaze, like Relapse or Revival, wasn't that
that great.
I didn't get critical reviews to it, and a lot of people just kind of felt like he fell off, but...
Mm-hmm. And he did. He did, because of course he was in a weird place in life, and that makes sense. You know, everybody that tends to be in a weird place in life has to have, you know, a weird take on things or a weird feel about how they put things out. But when this came out, I was like, yo, like he still has that Marshall Mathers feel that we've always loved since like the early 2000s.
The whole, you know, he doesn't really give a fuck pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't care. Just like, you know what? Like, if you don't like it, then too fucking bad.
Yeah. And then people still feel the need to diss him or put him down. And then he's still there to remind us that.
What happens at that point? He buries them.
Pretty much it.
Talk shit all you want, don't like what I like, and he's like, fuck you, like, I can still destroy you, and you're pretty much...
yeah, pretty much end you. Yeah. I'll pretty much make you switch genres, Machine Gun Kelly. But,
That's
something to say, man, when you insult somebody so bad they have to switch genres.
I'm not a rapper anymore, I'm just gonna go that way.
Yeah.
Exit stage left.
Pretty much it.
Yeah. But a couple of standout tracks. Of course, what sucks is that, like, these standout tracks to me were actually, like, the singles for them.
Okay.
They were so great fucking singles, and they were so other really good songs on the album. But the two songs that always stood out for me was Godzilla.
Yes, Godzilla.
Which is known to have, like, the fastest rhyme that he's ever done.
Yes.
Which was, like, what... 150 rhymes in like 20 seconds or something like that, or like a minute.
It even brought out like a social media challenge that people were trying to do, and
exactly, like it was just a bananas track. Yep. And then also Darkness, which is actually another great fucking song that actually had a bit of a sample of Hello Darkness My Old Friend.
The one Disturbed covered?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't think of the original singer right now.
I just don't remember the song. But Sound of Silence, duh.
Thank you, yeah. Oh god.
Yeah.
We're so bad at the music, you know.
We're horrible at this. Like, this is what we do, right?
Yeah.
No, but it was actually like they have the chorus and it actually makes sense as how he put it in there and the reason why, and it's a great fucking song. And like I said, overall, it's actually a really good album. So much that they actually came out with a B-side. But this isn't about the B-side. But the regular album.
Yeah. Music to be heard. Those kind of nights.
What happened?
those kind of nights with Ed Sheeran was like one of my favorite tracks.
Yes, that was actually a really good one too. Yeah. There's a lot of good shit on there, and like those are just the two that just stood out to me at the most.
Yeah, well, there's like 20 tracks on the album, something like that.
Yeah, there's 20 tracks on the album, and it's it's a banger of an album. So
yeah, there's something you're gonna skip over.
Yeah, if you don't have it and you actually want to jump into like Eminem recent stuff, just check that out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great reminder for what he is, the type of rapper he is, and just, you know, his style. He's just not giving a goddamn about anything.
Yeah, yeah. He's back to that. I just don't give up.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah. Music to Be Murdered By is a fantastic album.
Yes, sir.
That leads us to Charlie. What's your next choice?
I hope my next choice is a band that I don't know how to put it. Like, I liked them for a point, and then I stopped, and then got into it again.
Okay.
And you actually turned me on to this band way back when we first started hanging out, and it's Lamb of God.
Okay.
With their self-titled album that came out in the 19th, June.
Yeah.
And I read Randall Bly's biography, I think it was last year, early this year. And it just gave me new insight into the band and to his feelings and what he thinks about it. And it kind of gave me a little, shed some light on where he's coming from with his lyrics. And then those lyrics just stand out to me a little bit more now after I read his biography. And the CD came out, and listening to Memento Mori, which was the first single, it just reiterated that passion that he had. And it's just I fell in love with that band all over again. Like, I don't know why I stopped listening to that band. I listened to a little bit at the last one. What was it? What was the last album? Slum and Dang? I can never pronounce it.
It was number 9. Number 9 or something like that. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it either.
The one with 512 on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know which one I'm talking about. Okay, cool. But the best track on this album for me has to be the one with Jasta on it. Yeah. Poison Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, there's something about that song that was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
The whole album just bangs. The whole album just hits hard. My only problem with this album, it's only 10 tracks.
Yeah. It keeps you asking for more.
Yeah, you want more because with the last couple of tracks, you have Chuck Billy, you have Jamie Josta, you have this song called On the Hook, and then you want more, and then it just ends. And it's like, why? It's just one of those albums. Every song on here, Memento Mori, I mentioned, Checkmate, New Colossal Hate, Reality Bath, Poison Dream, and then Roots with Chuck Billy. It's just awesome, standout tracks, and this is like stuff I want to like, I don't want to say, yeah, well, you want to punch something or rip somebody's head off. It's just,
you just want to let out the aggression. That's what you're trying.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes you just need to let that aggression go, and she just does it for you.
Yeah.
At least does it for me. You know? Like, all that aggression pent up inside is like explodes. It's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. It's a killer album. One of my favorite tracks on this actually, Gears is one of my favorites.
Yes, Gears is good.
Oh, I fucking love Gears. And then that and On the Hook. That's another great one. That's a killer outro song for it.
Yep. But again, it's just give me another at least two more tracks to be happy. It's just
you don't want to overdo it.
And then, yeah, you know, it just makes me want the next album that much more. That's just what it does.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure they already have that album in the works.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too.
But do yourself a favor and read that memoir, man. It's really good.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Like, I've had it for a while. I just haven't had the chance to actually sit down and actually read it.
It's a great story, and he's a great writer.
Oh yeah, he's one of those people that you just like. I gotta read more about him because, like I said, like I've had it. I just haven't actually sit down to actually read it.
Do it. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Oh, but there's not a lot of book clubs.
So. I know. We're talking about musics.
Yes. What's your second choice, man?
My second choice is actually an obscure one, of course, because like I said, I listen to a lot of different music. And this is one of those bands. It's hard to pronounce because they're from Sweden. but I'm gonna try it. It's Karak Angren, and
Angren. Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, Karak Angren, and they are a symphonic black metal band, and all of their albums are actually, if you're into the black metal, you know they're all pretty dark, but this album is actually stands out the most to me is because and most of their albums are pretty much based on literature.
Yes.
And this album is actually based on Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
And the album that I'm talking about is Frankensteina Stratomatos. That was good? Good enough?
Close yeah, up. Why not? Sure.
And this album is absolutely like fantastic because of course it has the death metal feel to it, and then it also adds a symphonic feel to it at the same time.
So, I know you sent me some tracks of this album. How did you find this band again?
Honestly, like I found it on the Banger YouTube channel because they had to add one of their albums of the year.
Okay.
And comparing it to other albums that came out this year, this is one of the top albums that I can say, like, wow, this is actually, like, one of the... it's a fantastic album. And, like, from beginning to end, like, it's just nonstop. It goes from, like, from heavy to soft to very symphonic, very melodic, to real, real heavy, real guttural sounding. To slash type, to everything. It's just all over the place, all over the spectrum that you would expect from black metal. And yeah, everything else. And it's very dark, very, very grim. But the vocals are actually really good at the same time. It's a fantastic fucking album. And like,
do they sing in Swedish or
not Swedish. No, they sing in English. It's
okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's actually like a great 50-minute ride.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah,
that's a good time for an album.
Yeah, it's an absolute banger of an album. Like from beginning to end, there's nothing that like that I can say is like, oh, this one specifically. No, the entire album is absolutely fantastic.
That's awesome.
It's one of my favorite albums. Like I've listened to a lot of fucking music this year.
You say that like it's a bad thing. That's what we're about.
No. Like I might actually put this as one of my top ones. Obviously, yeah. I am putting it as one of my top ones.
Too. Yeah.
But this one, of course, compared to the other ones, is probably like my favorite one out of all of them.
All right.
And I like this one a lot, and I listen to it a lot.
A lot.
A lot. A lot.
A lot.
This is also their sixth album because they have like five other albums. Yeah. And they're great band. So I definitely suggest you check out this band.
I'll listen to it more. Yeah, send it to me.
Yeah, I'll definitely send.
If you haven't already, I'm like again behind.
I think I might have, but of course there's just so much shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's one way to say
it. Yeah. your turn, sir.
Oh, my third album. I love this band. I'm just going to go put it on front street. I love this band. And Trivium released their new album, What the Dead Men Say, on the 24th of April. And if you're not a fan of metal, if you're not a fan of hard rock and heavy tunes and great guitar work and great musicianship, listen to this album because it'll make you a fan of all those things. This mm-hmm. is just a quintessential, awesome, soon-to-be classic metal album. It's not a classic yet because it just came out this year, but this will be one of those classic metal albums that people talk 10, 20 years down the road from now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it only has 10 tracks. Don't quote me on that. Some of the standout tracks were some of the singles. What the Dead Men Say. I love Catastrophes. There's something about that, just the title alone, Catastrophes, just brings a sort of conveys a sort of feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes you want to rage, makes you want to just sing that chorus at the top of your lungs. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you love Matt Heafy or Heffy, whatever you pronounce his last name.
Yeah, you were right the first time.
Yeah, and he's just a great guitar player. He's a great vocalist. He can sing. He can scream with the best of them. He can growl with the best of them. He is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal artist. He's one of my, I want to say, top 10 vocalists right now.
Yeah, vocalist and guitarist, because he's...
Yes, he's an amazing guitarist.
Shreds like a motherfucker.
Hey, if you have any doubt of his shredding prowess, just follow his Twitch. Go look at one of his Twitch streams where he plays guitar, and it's just, you just see how much effort and work he puts into it, and it's just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The sounds he makes out, makes that guitar is insane.
Yeah, like I've watched his Twitch stuff, and I just marvel at him just playing just a random song. Like he'll just play it.
It's the I lack of a better term, not the sound for burn or anything, it's just the finger work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not hard. The way his fingers move, it's just... Mm-hmm. It's insane.
He does a fantastic job at it.
Yeah.
One of my absolute favorite songs is Bleed Into Me.
Mm-hmm.
I love that fucking song.
Yep.
Like, great so song. Hard. It's fucking good. And also, The Sickness Unto You, it's a great song, too.
Yeah, The Sickness Unto You is great. Bending the Arc to Fear, there is just a riff in that. There's like a great guitar riff in that track that, like, you automatically play air guitar to it. I don't know what it is. It's like it's a trance.
Yeah.
And that's one of the standout tracks. And I'm sad it's not a single, actually. I thought it would be a single, but they didn't make it into a single.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. And the drumming. The drumming is
phenomenal.
Insane. Alex Bent is one of the best drummers out right now. He's of course the newer drummer.
Yeah.
But he's been in other bands and the other bands I usually went pretty much in with like the real, real heavy stuff. So his heavy foot actually does a really good thing for this band because of course, you know, they've had heavy stuff before, but he brings that feel to Trivium that. It just sounds way better than it did before. Even though, like, of course, they had the heavy drum before, but like their sound just sounds just so much better than it did, and it's just like fantastic.
And this is one of the bands where they get better with each and every album. I feel like, even though they had some great albums in the past, I think they got I think they got 8, 9 albums out. This is the 8th or 9th album. I think
this is their ninth album.
Yeah,
their ninth studio album.
And I've listened to from everything of theirs, from Ember to Inferno to Shogun to Ascendancy, Silence in the Snow. I think when Silence in the Snow is where they started to hit more mainstream.
Yeah,
they started to get more popular with that. Mm-hmm. Fenton's Falls was also another great album, but it's just what the Deadmen Say is just a. I think right now it's at their peak because it's
they found their
the sound. They found their
groove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just really love the album. I think everybody should, again, just if you really want to listen to real good metal, listen to that.
Yeah.
That'd be a great introduction for somebody.
That leads me to.
Yeah, your third?
I guess it is my third choice. And my third choice is a very, very, very new band. And the reason I'm saying very, very, very new is because most of the members are literally like in their early 20s right now. And the band that I'm talking about is Code Orange. And their album that came out in May is Underneath.
I didn't realize they were that young.
Yeah, dude, they are super young. It is a fantastic album. Of course, it is on the heavy side. But what's so good about this album is that it doesn't just go on the heavy side. It goes from heavy to melodic to very soft vocals. because they actually mix it between the two lead singers. So one of the lead singers, of course, is a dude or whatever, but they also bring the guitarist in it.
Yeah,
which is a female guitarist that she sings also. So they mix it with his vocals and her vocals at the same time. So it sounds really good. So it goes from heavy to a little bit softer, not necessarily like super soft and symphonic type, like fucking, like Nightwish or anything like that. But it's just a female voice on there, and all their songs are just like really, really good, and I absolutely love this album. Like, I've listened to it a bunch, and then I listened to it actually today before we recorded, and I was like, damn, I remember why I like this album so much. Because it also it mixes the heavy, and it also mixes a little bit of industrial at the same time, a little bit of
but they do it well.
Yeah.
A lot of people can't
really well
can't find that line for both of them. They either go one way or the other, and they when they want to merge it, it's just it's off.
And what's cool, so about, really well. What's cool about this now is that, like, of course they are just beginning their journey. And then just beginning their journey, like, where are they gonna go with this? This is like their first mainstream album that they've had.
Really?
Yes.
I would have thought it was the last one.
Yeah, this is like their first real mainstream album, man. It's like, oh boy, wonder what they got left, what they got like
next
to put out next.
Yeah, it's just like I was saying with Trivium, once they find that groove, you just want to know what's next for this band, because their musicianship is really phenomenal, and they hope they could keep it up. Yeah.
And so if you're into like the metalcore and, you know, the hardcore punk stuff with a little bit of industrial mixed in, definitely check them out.
Yes, sir.
They're really fucking good.
Swallowing the Rabbit Hole is one of my favorite tracks on that album, by the way.
Yeah, the entire album is great. Yeah. Like, I love it. Like I was listening today and I was like, yeah, I don't think there's nothing else that I really want to listen to today other than this, because it's fucking good.
There'd be albums like that, though, that it came out this year that's like, you just get into it, and like, there used to be a term, and you know, we had this where we wore the tape out. Now we don't have this thing as tapes right now, you know, that's how old we are, I'm aging us, but we would wear the, you know, the MP3 out, pretty much, I guess you could say, if there is such a thing. You know, like, you know the songs backwards and forwards, and it's one of those albums.
Yeah, it's absolutely one of those albums. It's like, damn, like, how, what else are they gonna do next? That's what brings me to mind. I'm like, what are they gonna do next? How are they gonna continue this? This is actually their fourth studio album. Actually, correction.
Yeah,
but, four. Yeah, they have four other albums out.
And you know that?
They came out in They started in 2012. But their sound since then has changed, because I've actually heard, because they actually had a different name. They were called the Cold War Kids before. But
no, they weren't. They were the Cold War Kids?
Yes.
Oh, they weren't.
Yeah. Cold Orange Kids, I'm sorry.
Okay, but I know Cold War Kids was a band. I'm like, wait, really? Because you hear about that all the time, where you hear like one band and your friend, and then they drop off the face of the earth, and they resurface as something else.
Right, yeah. So they were the Cold Orange Kids, but they didn't really have a huge pushback then.
Oh, okay.
And then now they're on a major label.
Oh, that's good for them. They deserve it, because they're a phenomenal group. They really are. I like the fact you picked this.
They're great. I actually love this album, and I'm like, yeah, I definitely stand behind it, and like, I'll give it to anybody that wants to listen to a new band. If you want to do something new, want to listen to something that's like, holy shit, this is amazing. Definitely give it a shot.
There's definitely nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. What's your next choice?
My next choice is again, an older band. I guess you could say I've been listening to this band since I started listening to music again. And when I really got back into music in high school, talking about Metallica. And while it's not an album of new songs per se, they did release S&M 2. S&M Symphony of Metallica 2.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about two albums long worth of music. I say 24, 25 songs.
Yeah.
The entire concert.
It's a long album.
it's the entire Symphony of Metallica 2 concert on an album, pretty much. And there's just something about mixing great heavy metal music with the symphony to back it up that just excels that music even further. That just pushes that envelope, pushes that sound even further. And they do it so well. This is obviously the second time they've done something like this, hence the name Escalade 2.
The first one was Escalade in 1999.
Yep, the first one was actually, my wife actually gave me the DVD as a gift. That's how I fell in love with the S&M albums, but this is phenomenal as well. Ecstasy of Gold, it starts off with, and that's just a classic starter for any Metallica fan knows or has been to that concert. But they add in some newer songs like Moth Into the Flame is on there. Halo on Fire is on there, wherever. And they got classic songs like Nothing Else Matters, Masters of Puppets, One, Wherever I May Roam, which is one of my favorite Metallica songs. Unforgiven 3 is on there too. But then they also let the symphony shine, and they give this the conduct of the symphony like one or two songs where they do their own thing.
Yep.
And I think it's called the Scythian Suite, which is like an operatic opus from like many, many centuries ago. And it's just awesome to see them shine. And it's also Metallica, the show, give them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And I put Metallica on that list of my top five albums just because it is a fantastic live concert.
It really is.
It really does put you there. It's just to get a different sense of a different type of sound of metal with a full symphony, a full backing symphony on top of the musicianship, on top of the Metallica tunes. Definitely gives you a whole new different feel of it if you haven't been subjected to the first one yet.
Yeah. And then the funny thing is, like, you would think, like, oh yeah, they're the exact same thing. They actually are, because they actually composed some stuff to actually make it seem a little bit different than the original. Just slightly different, a slightly different take on the first S&M. And then they have a couple songs in the original S&M that they do it differently on this one.
Yeah, but something like For Whom the Bell Tolls, with the symphony backing on this one, it's just, it's crazy to hear the string, especially the string section For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yep.
It's just, if that doesn't get you moving, you're dead. It really does.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. If that doesn't get you pumping up with that string section and that chorus, there's something wrong with you.
Yep, absolutely. It's a fantastic listen.
Yes, sir.
Definitely suggest that one too.
Yeah. What about number you? What's number four on your list?
Number four on my list. Being that you went with Metallica, an old school thrash band, I'm going with another old school thrash band that, of course, has been out for ages. And they're still putting out music. Still putting out bangers.
Yeah.
And the band that I'm talking about is his Testament. We spoke about Chuck Billy being on the latest Lamb of God album. But this is his band. This is the band that he's been doing it with for the last, 30 some odd years?
Yeah.
And it's a I fucking hate that word, but it's a phenomenal. I can love Testament's Titans of Creation. It's one of those albums that, like, from beginning to end, you're just like, oh my god, like, where can they get this from? Where, like, for so many ages and so many years, they've put out music, and you would think they would just be like, okay, yeah, we're done with putting out good music, which is what a lot of bands do.
They shouldn't.
but that's the thing. Like, you would think, like, bands that have been around since the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
there's like, oh yeah, we'll just recycle the same things that we've done before. But they don't. They don't. They just keep bringing it. And it's like, fuck.
And this is one of those bands I kind of forgotten about back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I listened to them a lot back in the day because, you know, heavy metal, listening to that type of heavy metal was something I grew up on, you know, I want to say grew up on, but when I was listening, started listening to music again, this was one of the bands, and I kind of put them by the wayside a little bit, I guess I could say, mm-hmm. for a better term.
Yeah.
But goddamn, this made me realize how much I really liked that band.
Yeah, and you would think, like, he would just, like, Chuck Billy would just be like, oh, whatever, I'm not going to play anymore, I'm not going to do anything. Because he's old. Like, a lot of these older dudes now aren't putting out a lot of good music anymore. Like I said, like, he's like, no, check this. It's like that thing, like, oh, yeah, hold my coffee or whatever, or, like, hold my drink.
Well, hold my beer, but
yeah,
Chuck Billy has been in a couple of recent albums, like guest spotting.
Yeah.
And he's still bringing that energy, he's still bringing that fire. I'm trying to remember, there was one energy, one song, it was very punkish for a band, I can't put my finger on it now, it's going to drive me insane.
Was it a cover, a feature that he did recently?
Yeah, it was a feature, but it's very punkish, and I want to say Rise Against, and I know that's totally wrong. But it was just phenomenal, and it blew my socks off, and it just gave me that passion for Testament again. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, I remember this guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he still has it.
He also did one of the songs on the latest Killswitch album, too.
I think that might have been it.
The Crownless King?
He was on the Book Beat album.
On the what album?
The Vote Beat album.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the one I'm talking about, the Vote Beat album.
Okay.
And that was great. It had like a little bit of a punk vibe to it.
Mm-hmm. Just like most Vote Beat.
Yeah. But he did a guest spot on that album, which is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the name. I gotta look up the name of the song, but...
It's all good. But yeah, their Testament is one of those bands that you're just like, oh, geez, don't stop making music. one of my favorite tracks on the album is actually Night of the Witch. Like, I listen to that song like every other day.
That's another song.
Like, that song is one of those songs that like, gets me going. I love it.
There was just a lot of great tracks on there.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot how long the CD is. What is it, 12, 14 tracks?
12 tracks for a total of like 58 minutes.
Yep, Night of the Rich is pretty good. Children to the Next Level.
Mm-hmm. The outro is fucking dope too. It's a short outro, but it's fucking like the Catacombs is fucking great.
Catacombs, yes.
I absolutely love this album, man. Like, I'm glad that they're still putting out music, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do next. Hopefully they do more stuff. So what is your next, I guess your next and final choice, right?
Yeah, my final choice. Wow, I went through quick. This album is from one of my, I guess I should say our favorite bands.
Yes.
We are hardcore fans. I think you took a boot to the face in one of their concerts, if I remember that story correctly.
It wasn't a boot to the face. It was more like it was kind of like a kick to the chest in a way, because like I felt like I was going to have an asthma attack. Boot to the
face, it sounds so much more better.
It does. But yeah, I don't want to give false information advertisement out there.
So ever since this album was announced, it was on my radar. I had to get it. It was a much needed album. I'm talking about Hatebreed with Weight of the False Self.
Yes,
and that which was released recently. It was released on the 27th of November,
mm-hmm.
and every song on this 12-track album is just nonstop, inspirational, heavy music. There is nothing bad or wrong about any of the tracks on this album.
Yeah.
Your only thing negative I have to say about it is that it's only 35 minutes.
Yeah, which is what sucks about hardcore albums and a lot of Hatebreed shit in general. They're all short.
Yeah, but Weight of the False Self, Let Them All Rot, Set It Right, Dig Your Way Out, This I Earned.
Let Them All Rot is my favorite.
They just have these lyrics in there. It's just powerful lyrics that just motivate you and inspire you. Mm-hmm. And you want to get up in the morning and beat your chest and give you that push to start the day off properly.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to be done.
Every single day, like, I listen to Hey Beer at least for like 5-10 minutes.
You have to. It's a great way to start the morning.
Yeah.
It's a great wake up call.
It really fucking is. Like, yeah. Every single song, no matter where you put it in their discography, whether it's like off of their first album, or even off of their cover albums,
mm-hmm.
like, or even if you're gonna go to Joss' stuff or anything else that they do, whether it's that or even what's the band that he did outside of fucking Hatebreed with the dude from
not Times of Grace, it's
no, not Times of Grace. Well, you know what I'm trying to say. Whatever he does, he puts out some banger stuff and some good music, and like I absolutely love it.
It's just, again, this one did not disappoint. When I heard that Hapi was coming out with a new album, when I heard he was working on new stuff, I was in all the way. I needed it. I think I told you I needed it now.
Mm-hmm.
When they announced it, like, I need it now.
Yeah.
And it's still one of my go-to albums. I'm still listening to it on a daily basis. It's on my heavy rotation on my iPod. It's on my phone, I should say, not iPod, but phone. And it's just one of those albums where you just have to listen to it. And there's something about the lyric. It's not just him yelling at you. Mm-hmm. And that's
because he doesn't necessarily yell all the time.
No, and that's just a misnomer, a stereotype about heavy music. It's, mm-hmm. they sound like they're just yelling at you. It's not that. It's the lyrics behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And the meaning and the way he speaks is just like, I don't know how he wasn't a motivational speaker.
Right, exactly.
You know, because
well, the type that I was talking about is actually King of the Massaro.
Oh yes,
they're great.
And I don't know. I mean, how you can't just feel inspired or motivated to go out there and just tackle the day and tackle anything that's in your way after mm-hmm. listening to an album, or especially this album.
Yeah.
And there's meaning. There's like, it's just deep rooted meaning and symbolism behind every lyric he writes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to find musicianship like that or an artist like that.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for a band that's been out for the amount of time that they've been out as well.
I'm just using it for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Okay. So,
what's your number five?
My number five is from a newish band to me. Course, but they've been around for a while, and mm-hmm. The band that I'm talking about is Dance Gavin Dance with their ninth studio album.
Was it?
I didn't even hear about this band until this year.
Yes,
to hear that they had 9 albums, like Jesus Christ, dude. And this album is absolutely fantastic. The album that I'm talking about is Afterburner.
Mm-hmm.
It came out in April of this year. And it's one of those things, it's like a clusterfuck of music. Because it goes from like a funk sound to a little bit of Latin to a little bit of hardcore, like metalcore, to rap, to post-hardcore, to experimental stuff. It's all over the place. And
that's the best way to describe it.
It is extremely, extremely tough to describe. But the fact that they actually do such a really good job with it. Yep. And the vocals are on point, and everything in general with this band is great. Mm-hmm. Like, I absolutely love it, and it made me go back and listen to some of their older stuff.
That was something before we came on that I actually went ahead and downloaded some of their early albums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great.
They were very enjoyable. Yeah, and you can see the progression throughout the other albums,
mm-hmm.
how they progressed and how they came up with all these unique different sounds and how well they're able to mesh these different sounds you described.
Yeah, and they do a great job at it. Like, every single thing, like, from this album is like, holy crap.
Yeah, I'm mad that we didn't discover this band sooner, though.
Yeah, because you know what it is? It's the fact that, like, they do have such a mixture of sounds.
Yes.
That you don't necessarily know where it falls. So you're not necessarily gonna find it like on a regular metal list or a regular pop list or a regular anything. It's kind of like one of those, like, oh yeah, this is one of those bands that you won't necessarily find anywhere. Kind of like one of the bands that I absolutely enjoy, Animals as Leaders. you don't really find them anywhere because they're just an instrumental band.
True.
They're an instrumental metal band, kind of like progressive in a way.
Yeah.
So you don't hear it anywhere. You don't necessarily, you can't find the radio station for it, or you can't, you know, hear anything that, I'm like, oh yeah, this is, you can't really pinpoint that where they're gonna fall.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So that's the exact same way with Dance Gavin Dance. That's what they do. But everything that they put out so far has been like killer.
Oh no, yeah, it's a great album. Let's see here. I got the track list here, and like, I'm trying to pull it up, forgive me. It's 13 tracks, and some of the standout tracks for me, I love Parody, Catharsis, I like One in a Million.
Mm-hmm.
Lyrics Lie was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
On the album.
Prisoners, of course, it's like their first single on it, but like Prisoners was really good.
Was that the single on it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure that out. Single on there.
Strawberry Wakes is a really good one, yep, too. So, like, everything on the album.
For me, it was just a really fun album to listen to.
It is. It is, because it gets you moving. Like, it's,
yeah,
like, it has the heavy vocals, but it also has a lot of clean melodic vocals, mm-hmm, as well.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what I like about it, because it's very experimental and it's all over the place.
And they're one of the few bands that actually can go from the heavy to the melodic really well.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of bands can actually do that.
Yeah. Especially this being like their eighth album, I'm like, holy crap, like, they've, yeah, come a long way, because they've been around, yeah, for a while.
Yeah, it makes me want to listen to more of this stuff. Like I said, I just downloaded a couple of the albums, but it makes me want to get, like, listen to the other discography, like, take a deep dive into it.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely worth the drive.
Yeah.
Definitely worth checking out. So those are our top ones of the year.
Yes.
But I guess before we go, I guess we could talk about some of our honorable mentions. If you want to talk about your honorable mentions this year.
Yeah, I mean, again, there are so many great albums that came out in so many different genres. When I came up with my honorable mention list, I think I had like 12 on there.
Yeah.
Much to Steve's on the demise, I guess I could say.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus Christ, dude. It's honorable mentions. It's not like a whole list of things again.
Yeah, I know. So I cut it down to three. And Asking Alexandria came out with their last album on the 15th, like A House on Fire, that had a lot of good tracks on it.
Yeah.
There was a big year for members of Soundgarden, but mostly I'm going to highlight Clint Lowry,
mm-hmm,
the guitar player. His album is fantastic. God Bless the Renegades, which came out early this year. Came out in January, January 31st. And then to switch gears a little bit off the rock and heavy metal music, because you know I listen to everything. I think we talked about that previously in like a year and a half ago. The lead singer of Paramore, Hayley Williams, decided to go solo and release her solo album, which was called Pedals for Armor.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be one of the top alternative albums of the year, I should say. I put her in the alternative category because it's not, if you're expecting Paramore, the Paramore sound, it's not there.
Right.
It's more slowed down. It's more melodic. It's past songs talking about her breakup, her divorce from the guy from Newfound Glory,
mm-hmm,
that she married years ago. It has 80s pop sounds. It has a Madonna 80s Madonna vibe to it. It has soul. It has like slower songs, stuff you wouldn't expect from Paramore, I should say. And it's just a great, great album.
That's good. That's I actually like. I heard it because I think you sent it to me or whatever, and I was like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, something different from
my choice myself, but it's actually pretty good.
So, what about you? What are your honorable mentions, sir?
Okay, so my honorable mentions. I'm gonna start with the heavy, and then I'm gonna work my way down to the not so heavy.
Okay.
So, Suicide Silence is a band that's basically like, had their ups and downs because, of course, they lost their lead singer originally, and they got a new one. Then their first album with him was like, for a lot of people, I enjoyed it. But they recently came out with another album in February called Become the Hunter. And that album goes back to their old style with heaviness, punch you in the face. Just rock the fuck out to this. And it's a banger of an album. Like, I absolutely love it. And I listened to the fuck out of this album, too. It's a really, really good album. So definitely check out Suicide Silence, Become the Hunter. It is a great, great listen. Another one that's actually a really good listen that's actually completely different from a lot of my choices is Intronauts. Intronaut is one of those bands that also is a very progressive band, but also bring a whole different sound to a lot of their stuff. And they came out, of course, in February again. Well, I guess all of my honorable mentions came out in February. And they came out with Fluid Inversions. That's another great album. Yeah. It has, of course, a really good vocalist. Vocalist is actually really damn good. But they actually have like a lot of good guitar work, a lot of good drumming, nice. A lot of good everything. It's really, really, really
things that we like.
Huh?
Things that we like.
Yeah, it's a fantastic album. So definitely check out Intronaut. And then my final honorable mention is a band that actually reminds me a hell of a lot of freaking Deftones.
Mm.
And that's Loathe. And they came out with an album back in February as well. And it's called I Let It In and It Took Everything. And it's a great album. Like I said, it reminds me a lot of Deftones. Because it has a lot of that Deftones sound, but with a little bit of a kick to it. So it sounds good. It gives you everything that you would like in a Deftones album, but takes it to the next level in a way.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like it a lot.
Being
a Deftones fan, seeing that there are bands that are technically influenced by them.
Yep.
To come really out cool to with see. Really, really good music.
It's really, really cool.
It's super fun. Super duper fun. So so definitely check them out. And I guess that pretty much wraps it up for today.
Well, before we wrap it up.
Yes, what do you got?
2020 was a great year for music. I'm sure 2021, can't believe I'm saying that, 2021. Looks shaping up to be a good year for music. Is there anything you are anticipating? Anything you're looking forward to? Any artists you're looking forward to? Any music being released in 2021 off the top of your head?
Honestly, off the top of my head, I'm just excited to see that the world has been this year is the perfect biodome for getting new music ready for the world.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what it is, whether it's rap, whether it's hip hop, whether it's Spanish music, whether it's alternative or whatever you could possibly think of.
Well said.
Everybody has been cooped up in and away from everything and everyone.
Yep.
And then not only just the quarantine, but also politics and, everything with that. Yeah. The next year or so is going to have some great music. And that's what I'm super excited for in general.
There's some releases.
There are bands that I can say, oh, yeah, I want to listen to this band next year. But I'm like,
just music in the whole thing
in general. I just want to hear it all.
Yeah.
I just want to hear it all. Just bring it all. Give it all to my ear holes.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I mean, there's some albums, some bands that I can't wait to hear the new music coming out. And I was going down a list earlier of some bands who are supposed to put out music this year who are rumored to be putting out music. I just can't wait. I really can't.
Yeah. What are some of the bands that you saw that you were like, oh, yeah, I want to see that one?
Well, I'm a big Foo Fighters fan. You know that. Their album's coming out in February. I saw Anthrax is putting out a new album. Megadeth's supposed to be putting out a new album. And Evanescence, we have a history with Evanescence, you know that.
That was actually my first concert.
Yeah, the Pretty Reckless, I like. One of the ones I'm into, A Day to Remember.
Okay.
You know, stuff like that. It's just, I just can't wait.
Hell yeah.
You know, they're a band I hope put out new music because I haven't heard from them in a long, long time. But you know, that they're due for a new album soon, just to hear, make sure, you know, hear them again. But and there might be some surprises along the way, I think.
I have a few, you know, like cover bands or bands that are basically become super groups because they're just like, oh yeah, we're just bored. Let's just put music together.
Exactly. Yeah.
Kind of like what we've seen this entire time with, like, you know, people doing things from their houses or whatever. They haven't had a chance to actually interact with other bands. So it's like, oh yeah, let's just, how about we put this one together and this one together and this one together and just put it all together and just put it out there.
Yeah, or even the artist, like Billy Joe Armstrong, just put out an entire CD of just cover songs that he recorded on YouTube just for Monday. Exactly. Every Monday he recorded something and said, you know, screw it, that's an album.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Music is amazing.
Yeah, I think music was the one saving grace about this year.
Yep, absolutely.
It really was. This hellacious year.
Mm-hmm. It's a hell of a fucking year.
Yeah, really.
But guess what? I guess the point that this when this episode goes up, it's like, oh yeah, year's over. Yay, 2021. So it's exciting.
Cheers to you. Word. Cheers to you, sir.
Word, absolutely. So yeah. I guess that pretty much
that's it.
That wraps it up. So make sure you go to interesting.net. We got a whole bunch of shit up there. Go check all that shit out. And check us out on the
Big Show
SoundCloud. Yeah, of course. Yeah, the Big Show, of course. But not just that. Just check out everything on interstate.net. We got a whole bunch of shit up there. We got links to cool places. You got some discounted stuff and some cool shit you need. You can find the show on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. All the places. Well, not all the places. You don't find that on my iTunes, but nobody cares about iTunes anyway. And find us on the socials on facespace.com/InnerCityGeeks, on Instagram, InnerCityGeeks, Twitter, InnerCityGeeks.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on the Twitter at RUPERTO2106.
Yes. And you can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. And yeah, that's it for this week. Well, for this episode of Turntable.
And hopefully we'll be back soon. Yeah, I know it's been a while, and I apologize for that.
It's all good.
It's mostly my fault, but
it's all good.
Let's just say it's for a good cause. And
absolutely. You're following a bit of a dream, so.
Yeah, following a new dream, following a new goal, new career change, life went a different direction, and I decided to follow the turn instead of going against it, and it's leading me to new and unexpected things.
Exactly.
It's just, you know, it's going to take me a while to get there.
Bigger and better things.
Yep. It's a process, and nowhere near over, but I almost finished my first year
mm-hmm.
of doing this project, so it's going to take me another two.
It's all good.
Well, no way. You know, actually, a year and a half, I should say.
Yeah, baby steps.
Yeah, man. So.
Oh yeah,
we're doing it. Super exciting, man.
Super exciting. And yeah, I guess here's the new year.
It's gonna be your new year, sir.
Gonna make it better. We're gonna roll with the punches and take it to the next level.
And we got some good music to listen to along the way.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, man.
So I guess say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah.
Until we write again.
Absolutely. And open your ears and enjoy it.
Yeah, listen to some tunes, man. Let us know what you're into. Let us know what your top five are.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Let us know what are some of your favorite songs.
Yeah.
Not necessarily all songs, but albums of the year.
Exactly.
That'd be great to hear. And yeah, it's been fun. And we'll catch you on the next one, y'all.
Catch you later, people.